Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In this weekend's readings, the first reading as well as the gospel, speak to us about how we are to approach God in order to be healed and strengthened. Now, ironic enough, our parishes had our healing mass last Monday night, in which people came to God through the context of a mass and received the sacrament of healing, the sacrament of anointing of the sick. So these readings are very pertinent to us. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus on that first reading from 2 Kings. It's the story of Naaman. Now, it's not a very popular story, but nonetheless, it gives us some valuable lessons on how to approach Jesus. Now, unfortunately, the first reading that we heard today essentially is coming at the very end or the closing of this story. So what I'll give you is a synopsis of the story. There's a man named Naaman. He's suffering from leprosy. He finds out that the prophet in Israel, Elisha, has the ability to cure him. And so he makes his way into Israel, and he meets Elisha. And Elisha gives him the instruction on what to do, you know, to be cured of his leprosy. He is to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, he practices humility and the virtues, and it essentially leads to him following the instructions and then being healed by God. Now, his first response from being healed by God is to offer God right praise and right worship. But it doesn't stop there. He wants to continue to offer God, Yahweh, right praise and worship throughout the rest of his life. Now, essentially, what I want to do is I want to break apart this story and show how we can learn some valuable lessons in the spiritual life and then apply it in our own life. First, Naaman. Now, Naaman is not an Israelite. He is a very powerful general of a rival country, a country that is a rival to Israel. And so he's very powerful and he's very successful. And yet, he has a weakness. He has leprosy. And it's a very debilitating disease. Now, the first lesson we can take from this, we can be very successful in the world with whatever occupation we are working with. Doctor, lawyer, you know, whatever it is. We can be very successful in the world, and yet none of us are immune from a weakness, whatever it may be. You know, something in which we say, you know, on a regular basis, I would just wish I could get rid of this. Now, one of the things I like to do is read biographies, especially of very famous or great people. And it seems, you know, great people often have tragic weaknesses in their life. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill both suffered from chronic depression. In fact, Winston Churchill referred to it as the black dog. Now, throughout Winston Churchill's career as a politician, there were times in which he would have to take several days away from the office and essentially recover from it. He would tell people, the black dog is on him. Look at St. Paul. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh, how he begged God 3 times to take this pain away from him. But God responded to St. Paul and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for in weakness power reaches perfection. Now, it begs the question, you know, did Naaman's power and his success lead him to God? No way. Absolutely not. Instead, his weakness led him to God. And there's another great lesson for us. Don't run from your weakness. In fact, it's your very weakness that will lead you to God, to be healed and strengthened. Now, the story continues. Naaman has this little servant girl, and she's an Israelite, and she takes pity upon Naaman. She likes him. And so she tells Naaman to go to Israel. There's a prophet there. His name is Elisha, and that he would be able to cure him of his leprosy. And so she's positive that Naaman can be cured. Now, Naaman, think about it. He's this powerful general. He probably has a lot of advisors around him, the best and the brightest. And yet here he practices humility, and he listens to this little girl who really cares for him. He listens to her, he believes her, and then he acts upon her advice, and he goes to Israel. Here's another lesson that we can take from this. When we're struggling with something in our life, whatever the weakness may be, practice humility. The humility that helps us to open our eyes and our ears to those people that God sends into our life, because those people are helping us and guiding us to God. You know, there's that great scripture passage that I like. You know, God chooses the weak and he makes them strong and bearing witness to his presence in the world. Well, that's what those people are in our life. So we have to listen to them and then act upon their advice as they lead us to God. So Naaman, he follows this advice and he goes into Israel. Now, all the people find out that he is in Israel traveling, and everyone is upset, especially the king of Israel. He wonders why this great general is wandering in his country, and he's very upset. Now, Naaman goes to the king of Israel, and he reassures him he's not there for any military expedition, but he's just there to visit Elisha and be cured of his leprosy. But the king does not believe him. He thinks Naaman is a spy, or that he's doing some reconnaissance for a future attack. So he tells Naaman, no, I don't want you to continue to go into Israel. In fact, he tells him, you need to go home. Now, another lesson that we can take from this. You know, when we are traveling that path that leads to Jesus Christ, expect opposition. Don't be afraid, but don't be worried, but expect opposition. See, that's the consequence or the ramification of a fallen world because of sin. Now, when you stop and think, it makes sense. You know, the forces of evil, the last thing that they want you to do is draw closer to God and be stronger in your faith. So they will block you, but resist. In fact, persevere, push through that. And Naaman does just that. He continues on into Israel and he finds Elisha's house. And there he is, standing in front of Elisha's house. And yet, Elisha will not go out of his house to greet Naaman. He won't speak to him. Instead, Elisha sends a servant to Naaman. And the servant tells Naaman exactly the instruction that he needs to do in order to be cured. Well, Naaman, full of pride, is insulted by this. Here he is, this great general, powerful, successful. Here he has traveled a long way to meet Elisha. And Elisha doesn't have the common courtesy to come out of his house and even greet him. So essentially, and Naaman is insulted. And so he sulks. And he doesn't follow the instruction at all. In fact, he ridicules the instruction. You know, there's that classic statement in which he says, you know, how is it, or how are the rivers in my own homeland, aren't they as good as, if not better, than the rivers of Israel? And so he doesn't do anything. He just sulks. But later, he swallows his pride, and he practices humility. He follows the instructions, and he's immediately cured. Now, there's another great lesson for us. Humility. When we are in the presence of God, we must always practice great humility. There's a great story about St. Augustine. Someone once approached him and asked him, what are the three great virtues that we must live out every day of our life? Immediately, Augustine said, humilitas, humilitas, humilitas. The opposite of humility, pride. If you look at most of the sin in this world, it's a subset to pride. In fact, for a lot of people, They have real problems in the spiritual world because of pride. That's why pride is one of the seven deadliest sins. The prideful person is the person that now becomes their own God. Now, this makes me think of G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton once said, "You know the reason why angels can fly? It's because they take themselves so lightly." Well, that is so true, and so do we. We have to do the same thing ourselves, and that's where humility comes in. Humilitas, humility, the great virtue in which we're grounded in who we are in relationship to God and others, and living that out each and every day of our life. Now, at the very end, after Naaman is cured, the first thing he does, he offers right praise and right worship to God. And then at the end, he comes to Elisha and he asks if he can take some soil home with him. Now, you say, well, that's odd. Why does he want to take some dirt from Israel back home with him? Well, it's not really odd. See, in the ancient world, you could worship a god on the soil of that country in which that god is honored. That's why he wants to take the soil of Israel home with him, so he can continue to offer God right praise and right worship at home for the rest of his life. There's the final lesson for us all. You know, when we have come to the presence of God with humility, and God has cured us and has strengthened us, our first response should be to offer right praise and right worship to God. And yet, it doesn't stop there. You know, every time we come to Mass, we offer God right praise and right worship for everything that God has done to us and has given to us. That's why the Church teaches, you know, the Mass is the highest prayer that we can offer up to God. That's why it's so important for us to come to Mass every weekend and offer right praise and right worship. And not just for the things or once or twice in a year, but every week. Recognizing that offering right praise and right worship is at the very heart of the spiritual life. Now, one last thing. How does this story begin? With a man with a weakness, and yet that weakness leads him to God. How does it end? With that same person, now cured by God, offering God right praise and right worship for the rest of his life, just like us. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.